Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, kids, do you know what time it is?
No!
It's Jason Barsky time. WYLK Studios in Northeast Pennsylvania, the Jason Barsky Show. Be a part of the show by calling WYLK at 570-883-0098. This is the Jason Barsky Show on WYLK News Radio.
As much as I like those fun little introductions I have, they're quirky, kind of represent what goes on in my brain. When I have a guest on hold and I know they hear that, all I think about is, they're regretting their decision to come on the show, like right away. Now it's going to be weird because we do have a guest here, and I want to start off. Let me just say good morning to our guest. Her name is Amanda Ciafone. Is that right? Am I pronouncing that correct?
That's perfect, Jason. I have no regrets yet.
Oh, did you say yet?
Yes.
Give me 3 to 5 minutes and you'll be out of here. No, today is National Have a Coke Day. I don't know if you are aware of this, but it is National Have a Coke Day, which is pretty, you know, these national days, they don't mean much, but they get my brain going. So yesterday I'm sitting in my office and I'm like, I'd like to get someone from the Coca-Cola company to come on and talk about Coke. And as it turns out, I don't know if you know this, they keep their employees' contact information locked away in a vault, I think. It's almost impossible to find somebody. So I do another...
I've had that experience myself, yes.
But I do another search on Twitter, and your name pops up, and a book you wrote. It's called Counter Cola. It just came out, and it's a story of the domination, pretty much, global domination in a way, of Coca-Cola over the years.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty impressive, the kind of massive expansion it had, pretty strategically. So, for example, Coke is the single most widely distributed branded commodity on the planet. There are more countries that have Coke than are members of the United Nations. Most of its sales come from international business, and it's, you know, regularly most valuable brand in the world. One of the things I like the most is, according to Coke and others, it's the second most widely known word on Earth, Coca-Cola, second only to OK. Yeah.
I was going to say, is Jesus before? Like, what would be number one? Okay. Coca-Cola.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah, which the company, 96, claimed to actually own the rights, the trademark rights to in many countries.
Oh, my God.
So it could use it in advertising, yeah.
That's amazing. Again, the book's Counter Cola. How does one get interested in the history of Coca-Cola?
People always ask if I was, like, denied sodas as a child or anything, if I have, like, a particular, you know, if I'm spited somehow against the company. No, and it wasn't anything like that. I mean, you know, my dad would come home, and, if he wasn't having a beer at dinner, he would have... with dinner, and I'm interested in the history of U.S. businesses, and I'm also interested in the history of social movements, and so I wanted something that was a kind of icon that was both a really successful U.S. business and also sort of garnered a lot of attention in a lot of ways, a lot of anger from people around the world, and then became the kind of organizing force for different social movements, too.
Now, I know India has a unique history, and I told you this before. I haven't had a chance to read through your book. I'm not sure how much you talk about India.
Yeah, a lot,
Is it safe to say Coca-Cola found a way to beat socialism simply by being patient?
I heard you say that on the radio. I'd say generally, I don't know if they beat socialism. They definitely waited it out. And I should say in different markets, they've had different strategies where a lot of markets, they really, you could say they almost like appease socialism. They try to go along with it. And so a lot of markets, they kind of justified their businesses sort of local national economic development, right? And so that it was almost like part of a kind of national project of economies around the world. In India, the Indian government, caught on to the fact that Coke was getting a lot of profits from the Indian market, and that a lot of that money was not staying in India. So in the late 1970s, the Indian government demanded that basically Coke divest 50% of its shares and its Indian subsidiary to Indian shareholders so that they would profit, you know, from the stocks in Coke India. And that they transfer some of their technology information, basically that they allow the subsidiary to produce the secret formula itself and make the drink, you know what I mean, itself, that information. And Coke refused and left the country for 16 years. I mean, they just basically fled in exile so as not to have to follow the rules of the Indian state, which is obviously of concern to development, right?
Yeah. Have you talked to anyone who was affected by a company just pulling out their product at once? Was there like outrage? Was there just chaos? People couldn't find their Coca-Cola? Because this is well before people were like, you know, there's corn syrup in there and people were upset about it. This was like people drank it like it was water.
Yeah, in the 70s, I mean, in India, obviously, you know, there's issues of water safety, right? So a lot of these products, especially from the upper class, a lot of the expats, right, who live in India, yeah, there's a lot of drinking of these products. But I mean, there were other products to drink, and a lot of especially in this moment in the 70s, a lot of competitor products. There was not yet the moment of, like, you know, the kind of duopoly of Pepsi or Coke, right? These, yeah, kind of two corporations that control the world. So there were Indian options. A lot of those Indian options really thrived, obviously, under the absence of Pepsi and Coke. And so drinks like Thumbs Up, which is still, I think, the most popular drink in India. Now it's owned by Coke, of course.
That's what's crazy.
They bought that up.
It's amazing, yeah, how big business. So Coca-Cola dominates the market. The Indian government says, give us a share. They say, no, we're leaving. They run as a socialist country for, what, about a decade, 14 years maybe? Something like that?
A little bit, 16 years they were gone, yeah.
No, but, so they're yeah, gone. And then when they come back in, all these other companies have stepped up, or all these other brands have stepped up to be like, we're the new Coke. And then Coke comes in and goes, I mean, not new Coke, that's a better way to say it.
Right, not the new Coke.
Yeah, they come in and go, hey, guess what? We're back, and now we're going to buy up all your popular brands, and now we own everything. They came out the winner at the end.
And very strategically, when they came back, they advertised themselves. I mean, obviously, especially, and that's in the moment in the 90s, when you get like a lot of the kind of backlash against, you know, cultural globalization from parts of the world that are irritated with, you know, that seems like American kind of culture is coming to dominate them. And so Coke comes in, buys up local brands and promotes them, and also promotes itself as Indian, you know, so that, yeah, a lot of the advertising is very much like, we're, you know, not that we're American, that we're Indian. We're made kind of in the country, and, you know, we celebrate Diwali and your holidays, you know what I mean? So that it seems like a kind of natural part of the local environment.
Are there any parts of Earth where you can't get Coke?
Oh, that's such a good question. I haven't been to,
you haven't found
I did
it.
A lot of traveling for this book, and I have not been to one.
Okay, so you haven't, like, showed up at a place, you're like, oh, you're kidding me, I wasted a trip to blank. Okay, that's fine.
I'm sure there are, you know, but Coke likes it, they love these stories, you know, where it's like deep in the Amazon, you know, delivered only by canoe, you know, you can get Coke. So I'm sure there are parts, but Coke likes to think of it as having pretty broad penetration.
Over the years, I mean, they have had to deal with certain, you know, roadblocks, whether it's the Indian government saying, give us your recipe, or when they go, no, we're leaving, to, like, now I think they're facing another one, which is, hey, your drinks are bad for us. And that's like this public health concern. What do you see them doing to adapt? Is it just branching out into different types of beverages?
Yeah, you'd be a great marketeer. That's exactly right. I mean, they have multiple, you know, they take multiple strategies. I should say this is something they've faced before. So, for example, yeah, they've had criticisms about cocaine and caffeine, you know, in its products. And so they have some history with this. But obviously, sugar is the concern, sort of the public health concern of the day. And they've taken a couple different strategies. The first one, which, you know, they've used with sugar in the past, there's concern about sugar and cavities, for example, in the, yeah, mid-century, is to basically, like, muddy the science. They've spent a ton of money funding scientists at legitimate universities to do studies saying that, no, it's not so much about the sugar we intake, it's about how much exercise, right, that we do during the day, yeah, that we need to be burning off more calories, which is actually not the accepted science of the current moment. So they kind of muddy the scientific discussion. But at the same time, they realize, okay, maybe there's a kind of market possibility here. And so we've seen this, right, kind of a broadening of the product spectrum, right, what they offer. So, you know, all sorts of buying up, you know, juice brands like Odwalla, things that we think of as very like natural and healthy and even sort of like, you know what I mean, kind of, you know, hippie oriented drinks, for example. Obviously the waters, all different other kinds of like energy drinks, et cetera. And marketing themselves as a kind of like full hydration company. Another thing they do is to go sort of headlong into what they call kind of corporate social responsibility, which is funding all different kinds of kind of healthy activity programs. So in lots of schools that have faced cuts to, for example, like physical education, they fund all sorts of programs for children to be getting exercise, right? So trying to like help combat the obesity problem that way. Yeah, as well as like education about nutrition, which of course is like slightly muddy in the way they do it. Yeah. But so they've been spending a lot of money trying to, you know, look good in the process too.
It's like if Willy Wonka opened like a children's gym. It doesn't make any sense. Like, it's like, how can you get mad? It's a free gym, you know? I mean, they're smart like that. Would you say, you know, your book is for someone who loves history, someone who loves business, somebody who loves marketing? Is it just a good story in the book that you can follow from start to not finish because they haven't closed down? But who do you think this book targets?
Yes. I like to think so. I mean, the reason I wrote about Coke, going back to your first question, is it was the kind of thing that like we have a personal connection to. Like we literally, it's like sort of intimate in some ways, right? We like literally like take it in our bodies. And so we have this kind of relationship with it tangibly. And I think we all sort of know it. It's such a powerful like image producer, right? We can, those jingles like enter our head. We can think of those ads. Yeah. And so it was meant to like be able to connect with a broad group of people and kind of draw them into the larger history.
Mind control, something in there.
Well, hopefully in the case of this book, it'll make you more interested in some of the stories that I think are bigger than any single company, really. Yeah.
It's pretty fascinating stuff. It's called Counter Cola. You were saying before we came on the air, it's on back order right now, so people are buying it and people are checking it out. Wow. That's super cool. Congratulations on that. And
thanks so much. Again, nice talking to you.
Yeah, it's Amanda, CFO.
Yep,
okay. Counter Cola is the book. Good luck with the sales. Thank you for talking here. And have a Coke today. Yeah? Do you drink Coke? Thanks. I got to ask that. Do you drink it?
You know, I will drink the water when I need to be, but honestly, it makes me a little bit crazy. So well, I stay away from the caffeine.
That's funny. But. Hey, listen, thanks for being on my show. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
The Jason Barsky Show on WILK News Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.